In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as is fitting, the first Sunday after the celebration of Pentecost, we see the fruits of that Pentecost. And that, of course, is the Sunday of All Saints. Now, we celebrate all of the saints today together because there are many, many of them who, if you've been listening to any of the commemorations over the years past, that we don't even know their names. Sometimes we know what happened to them, sometimes we don't. But they are recorded in our calendar. Whether it's martyrs or confessors or whatever it happens to be, they are all celebrated here together today from the beginning of time until now. And why do we care? Why do we care about the saints at all? Well, for one, there's the great cloud of witnesses that we just heard about in the epistle today. And for secondly, we know that there is just a very thin veneer between us and between the heavenly realm, that they are much closer than we know. And someone might say, well, how can a saint be everywhere? How can a saint answer prayers if you've asked them to intercede for you? Well, because they are in the Holy Spirit. And what do we say in the prayer to the Holy Spirit? He is everywhere present and fills all things, so that those that are in the Holy Spirit are not bound by time and space and these things which we are so constrained by here on earth. So the saints are there. They are wanting to help us. They love us because they are in the Holy Spirit, because the Lord has glorified them. God, who is wonderful, is glorified in His saints. Now, why would that be? Isn't God glorified, period? Well, of course He is. Of course He is. But it shows a measure of His love for us that He provides us with these many witnesses to His divinity, to His humanity, that He makes His saints participants in the fullest manner possible in His glory. And of course, that's what all of us are called to as well, that same sort of participation. Many say, and I hear this so many times, well, you know, the saints, well, they're saints, you know. They're saints, of course. They don't understand what we're going through. I mean, they're saints. Well, have you ever read any of their stories? There is no circumstance through which they have not understood and lived the exact same problems that we go through every day. The same passions, the same temptations, the same threats, the same embarrassments, the same humiliations. They've gone through all of this. There is such a wide variety of saints. So many martyrs, confessors. I mean, just the martyrs themselves, which were the original group of saints in the first 200 to 300 years. But then the confessors, those who were tortured for their confession of faith but yet did not die. For all of the ascetics we have seen, the holy unmercenary healers, the great fathers of the church, those who have sat down in defense of the Orthodox doctrine of the faith over the years. And there's many, many other categories also, because any sort of condition of the human person, they have gone through, they've understood, and they are represented in one way or another in the list of saints of the Orthodox Church. How many right now know the date of your own patron saint, the one who has been with you ever since you entered the church, the one who intercedes for you? This is not just some fiction. This is a reality. They are really doing it. When we take that name in our baptism or our chrismation, we are taking the name of someone who is glorified in heaven and who has a particular responsibility for you. One day, when we all go on into that next world, you're going to meet them. You're going to say hello to them. You're not going to be some sort of mass of spiritual something or other just floating around heaven. There's going to be a real and genuine connection with that particular saint in the body divinized at that point, loving the Lord, and will want to tell you perhaps all of the times they were praying for you when you didn't ask for their intercession. But they were still there because that's what their duty was. Their duty is born out of love for God. That's why they are saints, because they are so engaged with the great love of God. As St. Seraphim of Sarov said, when asked why there are no saints anymore in his age, if you can believe that, and during his age there were a lot of saints, but even then they thought that perhaps the love of many had grown cold. And so he said, it's very simple why there's not more saints: for lack of a willing spirit. That was the only thing. In other words, all of us called to be saints as they are, and as saints in the congregation of the church, the only thing that is lacking with us is the fact that we are not willing to go the extra mile in the love of God. We are not willing to do what they did. And my goodness, there are so many examples that we could find from every single age range. I mean, there are many, many kids who are saints, teenagers, boys and girls who gave up their lives for the Lord, who confounded authorities when they were after them for whatever reason to deny their faith, all through the ages. There are many old people like me who came late to sainthood. Some it came upon them very suddenly, when all of a sudden, unbeknownst to them before, they were all of a sudden asked to give an accounting of their faith. And they did. They may not have had any idea that this was coming, but yet it did. Some of them spent many, many years in devotion to the Lord and were rewarded at the end of their lives. Some spent their entire lives completely fighting against God. Completely. But yet at the end were able to turn to Him. Some acquired extraordinary powers, like the apostles that we found out about last week. As it says in the Troparion, "Thou who dost make fishermen divinely wise." Those who were unlettered, they didn't have any skills whatsoever. And all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, they are preaching the highest theology you can imagine. All of that is offered to us on this day, the many saints that we have. It's important for us to get to know them. Because if you go, for instance, through your entire life, or you are invited to some sort of gathering or convention, and you go there, we've all been through this, you don't know anybody, okay? It's maybe because, you know, you belong to some organization or something, and you get there, you feel really out of place because you don't know any of these people. It's a struggle to get through whatever it is you're having to go through. Well, we don't want that to happen when you get to heaven. We want you to know these saints, to understand, to say, look, there's the 40 holy martyrs. Oh my goodness, I know all about them. There is St. Mary Magdalene. Tell me about that egg story. St. Mary of Egypt, how did you do it? St. John Chrysostom, preach to me now because I've heard your sermon so many times. We want to know these saints that go on before us and that pray for us day in and day out. And so often it's so easy to sort of stand back and think, well, is it really real? Is it true? But my dear brothers and sisters, it is. It is more real. It is more true than anything you will experience in this life, because they are representative of the truest reality, the basic reality, the reality that God has created for us, and that in the Garden of Eden we shoved away and brought all of this world around us now, which has its joys and pleasures, but a lot of the time, let's face it, it's just not much fun, is it? It can be a real struggle. But that heavenly reality awaits all of us. They are real. They have appeared to many people. Their icons have healed people. They have gushed myrrh for people. All of these things have happened over the history of the church. Incredible miracles. Incredible miracles. Some of the saints have even given signs as to what orthodoxy of what heresy were really about. This has happened many, many times. And so we can't dismiss their witness. We can't dismiss their reality. And most of all, we can't dismiss the fact that we are all called to be like them. Just like them. So you can't say, oh, they're saints. No. They're saints because they went through everything you did. But they persevered and they loved God more than anything in this life. Anything. That's why they are who they are now. And they're continuing to be created, to be manifested among ourselves. There have been many, many in the last 100 years. In the 20th century alone, there were more saints created in Russia than practically all of human history. Millions and millions of them who were persecuted for the sake of the Lord because they would not deny their faith. There are others coming from Mount Athos. There are some in Alaska. There's our own wonderful Saint Maria of Paris, who stood up even to the hierarchs of her day, who were criticizing her and said, no, this is what we should be doing now at this point in history in our situation. And she went on to her martyrdom. There's our own Saint James, the brother of the Lord, who was thrown off the top of the temple and then beaten to death because he wasn't quite dead after that. There are so many countless wonderful saints whose lives are just extraordinary. And you know, they weren't any different than us. They are not somehow God. They are as little gods because they partake of the one true God and the grace that He has given them. But they are human beings just like us. Only they have achieved that which we're all called to. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, you can be a saint. You can be. What does it take? Well, renounce sin, for one thing. That doesn't mean you'll never sin again. But you're renouncing it. You're trying to turn away from it. You're loving God. You're loving His people. You are generous to all people around you. And most of all, as it's in the bulletin today, what is one of the most important things that St. Porphyrius and others have also said is that if you truly want to be sanctified, then consider yourself as less than any other person. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because we've met people all the time, and what's the first thing we think? Oh, Lord, I thank Thee that I am not like this person. My goodness, oh, spare me, oh Lord, spare me. But if you start thinking of yourself as less than that person, then you achieve true humility, and humility is the thing that has wings and takes us straight up to heaven. Absolute straight up to heaven. This is the reason why we have the icon of our Lord Jesus Christ over there in extreme humility. Because He not only condescended as God to become man, but He endured all the things that we also have to endure. He did not sin, but He went through every single temptation and He allowed Himself to be killed by His creatures. It doesn't get any more humble than that. So let's take to heart all of these wonderful saints that are around us all the time, that can teach us so very, very much, that can show us how to be humble, that can show us how to achieve theosis, divinization, that can show us how we should live godly lives in this world, and by that very fact, making this world a better place, even if it means our bodies getting destroyed, because many of theirs did. But that's what we have to know about what it means to be a follower of Christ, to follow Him no matter what happens, in total disregard, not only for your own selves, but if needed, even family, even friends. As it says in the gospel, husbands, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, nothing can get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it is the closest relationship that we will ever have, and the one that certainly is the most dependable in all of our relationships. It doesn't mean we don't love those other people. Not at all. Because when you are in Christ, you are loving everyone, especially your family members. But we should also at the same time know that the one thing needful is the pursuit of holiness in Jesus Christ. And that's the testimony that all the saints give us today. Amen.